Well, I know the timber industry is very important to Oregon and also the state of Washington. In other words, Governor Carter would eliminate the present treatment of capital gains and losses that would dramatically increase the tax on the lumber industry. No longer would timber be accorded capital gains treatment. And I don't need to tell anybody in this audience how many millions of dollars that would take out of your economy, because it would end your capital formation, it would increase unemployment, it would reduce the money available for those workers who are fortunate enough to keep their jobs. And I just suggest that that's one more good reason to stick with President Ford. I also want to touch... Thank you. I want to touch on one or two other matters very quickly. I've been on the House Agriculture Committee 8 years. I'm now on the Senate Committee, where I'm the ranking Republican. I'm going to play a very important role in agriculture, starting January as Vice President. I think it's going to be... How are we doing? Oh, good, good. A little technical difficulty here. I don't know what Governor Carter promises American farmers. Right. Wonder I haven't thought of that. But he promises farmers everything. He promises workers everything. He promises taxpayers everything. Higher taxes and higher taxes. He said a couple of days ago he might cut taxes. Today he said he wasn't certain. He's only certain of one thing, that come next Wednesday he's going back to Plains, Georgia. And that's where it all... But I'll say to the farmers very quickly, President Ford made a mistake on the embargo. He's not going to make that mistake again. We believe in a strong export system. I'm going to play a role in the exports in the next administration. We're going to strengthen the exports and bring up farm prices where they ought to be. And we're going to stop imports of meat that interferes with the livestock industry. We're going to extend that restriction beyond January of next year. We'll do it. We don't have any plans for gun control, as advocated by Governor Carter and Senator Mondale. I just suggest that you've got a choice. You've got a real choice. If you want to vote for an ultra-liberal ticket, you've got it in Carter and Mondale. If you want a moderate to conservative ticket, you've got it in President Ford and Bob Dole. And I want you to make the choice. Now, we've got Saturday and Sunday and Monday and the rest of the day to work for President Ford. And as I've said so many times before, it really boils down to leadership, it boils down to experience, it boils down to trust, it boils down to keeping your promises and keeping your word and saying one thing here and one thing at another place. And I think when we add it all up, if you'll work 3.5 more days for President Ford, he'll work for you for 4 more years. Thank you very much.
I don't know. I haven't really reviewed the other campaigns. I never run at this level. But I think one thing, you're not too many... issues and just reach out and grab anyone, grab the voters. I think we talked about taxes and unemployment, and peace and strength. And to certain groups, those are highly important. But we're not in a war anywhere, and the cities aren't burning, and no riots in the street. And I think I don't know who fired the first shot, but I. I think there's been some personal shots at Ford on brainwashed and dog catcher and no leadership, no compassion.
Do you think that they sure campaigned completely innocent of this sort of situation as well?
I don't know. I haven't gone back and looked at all the little press things we have, or as I did on the other, you'd be making a mistake. But I can't think of anything where I've characterized Carter and Mondale as, you know, I've called them big spenders and irresponsible, but ultra-liberal. But I've tried to deal with a philosophy. I can't think of anything I said about I couldn't take an oath, so I'd have to go back and check. There's been, you misspoke yourself. Well, I don't get into that game, but...
Is there anything you could have done in retrospect to elevate the level of the campaign? You might have done
it. Well, when you're 35 points behind, and you look at the surveys, and Carter's only perceived by what, at that time, 9% of the people as being liberal. Just totally contradicts their platform and his running mate and his own statements. Then you've got your work cut out for him. You've got to be tough. You've got to go after him. And when he bragged about his record in Georgia, you got to go after that. And when he insults, whether it's LBJ or whoever, I think it's all fair game. Now, if you want to stay 35 points behind, you go out and talk about all the great things that happened, and you may catch up some, you know. But I think you've got to distinguish between the two candidates. I don't know who. I may be perceived that way because Mondale said I was, so everybody asked me at every stop, am I a hatchet man? Well, I don't accept that.
Is it difficult for you to sort of live that down in that respect? I mean, do you know how to handle that and say, how can you effectively control this?
I think by ridicule, that's why I bought the hatchet, and held it up. Now, other people may interpret that as saying, well, he is a hatchman, he even had one in his hand, you know, I mean, you never know whether you're making your point, but I was characterized as a hatchman the day after I was on the ticket, before I ever uttered a word, so.
How do you think the public really perceives you now? I mean, a lot of this gets into campaign rhetoric.
Yeah.
Mondale says this.
I don't know. I don't think. I don't know. I don't know of any polls. Except to show that I'm effective in certain areas.
Carter's people talk about polls, which show that Mondale has contributed more to that ticket than you have to.
I don't either.
Do you have anything comfortable on your campaign?
Well, all I know is when I went on the ticket, we were 35 points behind. Now we're even.
Do you think that's
I think I've had a part in it. I don't suggest that that's... I think I get some of the credit, if that's any credit due, but... I think there are a great number of people out here, Democrats and Republicans and Independents, get a little tired of Mondale whining about the unemployed and all these stock liberal phrases that Ford lacks compassion, Ford lacks leadership. And what is their answer? Spend more federal money and put more people out of work. And you know, they want somebody to stand up and meet it head on, not get up and sort of apologize. You don't have to say something about Carter or Mondale. And that's reinforced everywhere we go, particularly since the debate. At least I sense it, the crowds and the attitude of the people and give them hell, Bob, and you know, this sort of thing. I don't suggest that in itself is enough, but I think the image of being straight and standing up for the good of America and for strong defense and a strong economy, I'm pretty hard to fault it. Their strategy is just the opposite. I mean, not they downgrade this, but they go out and they appeal to the they try to use unemployment and deficits. Even when Mondale offered an amendment last year himself to add $9 billion to the deficit, they go out and blame Ford for the big deficits and the spending and the, and I think it's, you know, it's a tight race.
Did the President Ford ask you to get off the Democratic Party? How do what's the genesis of that speech you made in Troy? Why did you say that? Was that a deliberate thing to kind of calm down that, get off?
No, just to cool the press off. You know, they set the back and feet on each other and decide who's going to ask the next question, the next stop.
Has that had any measurable effect on the campaign as far as you're concerned, the home issue?
No. I think if I'd have said it, just said that the wars occurred while Democrats were in the White House, if you use the shorthand, then you, then it's interpreted as saying, oh, you're blaming it's a partisan war. Well, my point is, and will continue to be, and I'm going to continue to talk about it, not get tied down in some little nicety, what did you say here or there. I'm going to talk about the strength under Ford, the cuts that would come under Carter, and the lousy record that Mondale has on defense, and it is a lousy record. It's going to be particularly telling, I think, in the areas we're going today, where there's strong defense. How many people would be out of job if we didn't have the space shuttle? That's our first stop. Mondale voted to scuttle the space shuttle.
So the Big Eight states, I think, the Big Eight. How do you analyze?
I don't know. I haven't, New York with McCarthy off the ballot probably is, and I think I sense that Carter's pumping up Mondale a lot to try to drain off some of that liberal vote now. But again, they say even with McCarthy off, there's still a chance for us in New York. Illinois, as you know, is a toss up, isn't it?
Very tight.
Is there a new poll coming out? California, you know, it says we're ahead. Texas, we're supposed to be a little ahead. Michigan, well, our lead has been reduced some there. Ohio and Pennsylvania again, or Florida, we've been behind.
How do you explain this? How do you analyze it?
I don't know. I think one thing, I think the obvious thing is the Republicans were not fractured after the invasion. I think Reagan and Ford that last night pretty well unified the party, but we're still a minority, so we had to, that was only one step. I think then it was a one-on-one. Carter had to start defending some of his positions, and he really wasn't all that great a winner in the primaries. He lost six out of the last eight. not many Democrats voted for him in the whole rash of primaries. I had the figures, I can't remember. So and I think Mondale may have helped him in the liberal areas. Didn't help him in a lot of areas. So I don't know how you weigh it all, but he's, unless every poll is wrong, he's blown a big lead.
I guess it's a question, has he blown it? Has the board picked up?
Well, it's probably a combination. I think it was artificially high. Anybody who says that he would win by 35 points, even Carter said it. You get down on a one-on-one, and then people are voting maybe for a change. Maybe they don't see any reason for a change. Maybe Ford suddenly appears to be a confident, decent guy he is in the minds of some who had doubts. Carter is fuzzy. And the Playboy thing was a setback, but that was offset by the Eastern Europe thing, or at least part of it. We were down to Florida, you know, last Saturday because they said we were within 3 points. North and South Carolina are supposedly close. We're going to Louisiana on Sunday. We're slightly ahead. Mississippi, we're supposed to be ahead. Virginia. Texas. If you count Texas, no. Supposed to be slightly ahead again. From an 8-point deficit. And maybe this Travis Ward thing will help us in Texas. He's supposed to be a pretty big gun in Texas.
Just the thing we read this morning.
And he's apparently called the PFC today and made an actuality for playing in Texas. So.
There's one thing I've been with the government. Do you have any gripes about the way the press is
covered? Oh, I don't know. I know the press is very tender, and I made one comment one day about the New York Times. I could sort of sense a whole fraternity rising up back there. I'm not totally naive. I knew the New York Times was harder from the outset. And that's the right they have. So I don't know what you can. We don't get many positive stories, but we still work, and we get pretty good local coverage where we go. And I'm not a liberal, so I assume that some start off with a negative attitude. But I've been in the Congress long enough to know where the sentiments are in the press. They're not with conservatives. But I don't say that I've been mistreated. I think on balance, probably had more coverage than Mondale, probably because I was on the road and Ford was not.
Has coverage been fair in your estimation?
No, I don't know. I mean, I've read some stories that I thought were, when you work your tail off all day long and say a lot of good things, and you read a negative story, a wire story, whatever, it's pretty hard to swallow. But again, they've got to make that decision. As long as they're objective, I can't quarrel with that. And then, I don't expect the press to follow us around and say what a great job we did. So I don't really have any, I thought during the Gulf Oil thing they rode pretty hard on that. So there was evidence that Mondale had some problems too that nobody even touched on. And it's sort of
comfortable at the press conferences, I've noticed that. And this is pretty subjective from my point. I know sometimes that you seem to be a bit snappish, sometimes hesitating on answering questions. Is this because you think that some of the questions are unfair? Is this your way
back? No, I just don't want to, anyway, get the president in trouble. I want to be careful. I'd rather not answer the question than answer it incorrectly, because you do make mistakes. Just as I said, I didn't recall the Democrat War. Well, I try to think, well, that's stupid, but then you think, well, talk about in the context, if you're going to raise Watergate, I'm going to raise that. So it's impossible to remember everything that's happened at every little airport stop, because we are accessible. I think probably more accessible than any other candidate.
I asked you a couple of questions about the economy. You probably know I'm an economist, and I deliberately came back here not to ask you that.
My turn. Right. You may not know the answer.
I mean, I was covering the talk, but you're going to be vice president where I did it right now.
Well, not uncomfortable, but you know, as I've said, I'm on the budget committee and the finance committee. I haven't seen any economists who didn't look a little uncomfortable. They all come in with these great statements. If you could line the economists from end to end, you'd have an end. You wouldn't have a solution. And so you look at the indicators, they get out the graphs and the charts, and it's over. You're virtually overcome with all this knowledge that you can't pin down. And it is, but we can get up. I listened to Bill Simon, was it this morning? But again, here's the guy, and he's saying the same thing I've been saying. Now, maybe it's more believable coming from the Secretary of the Treasury. He's talking about the number of people working, inflation rate cut in half, and I didn't get all of it. I assume he's talking about the new indicators and the fact that four were down, or four were up, and seven were down. But of course, their answer is, well, the short range ones are down, the others are up, and this, the impact of the Ford strike. That's a very complex science. I don't know. I can recite it all.
Well, as you travel around the country, you find that people you talk to have been extremely upset about the economy. Is it an overriding issue?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. I mean, it's strange. You know, everybody gets heated up on the economy, and you got to believe that it's not so bad. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people working, and there are a lot of people not working. But the feedback I got it last night. Where were we? In Spokane. Well, some guy gave me a fit for not talking about the people that are working. Well, because he's working, he wants to keep his job, or he's a small businessman. But talking about being unemployed, and it's not a good issue for us. The polls show that issue is with them. They try to ride out the unemployment thing on the private sector business, and 5 out of 6 jobs in the private sector, and we need to stimulate the private sector. And,
is this little leading indicators report, can that be a crucial thing in the election, since it's the timing of it?
I don't think so. I think this headline, Carter retreats from assurance of tax reduction. That's been his whole problem ever since this thing started. He's on again, off again. He's got a yo-yo policy. People understand this. You can talk about the 7 leading 11 indicators. A lot of people might think you're tomorrow's football lineup. 4 indicators are up and 7 are down. That's the backfield and the line. Now, I know economists sit around, and I've talked to Arthur Burns a lot, and I've talked to him about the rate of growth, and it ought to be, he told me earlier, it'd be 7%. And I agree that we couldn't stand the 9.2% we had in the first quarter. It's unrealistic. 4% is too low. The other economists say, well, it's all going to come up this last quarter. And we deal with it quite a bit. I'm not an expert, but at least I understand a little of it. The average voter, I think he's lost.
Well, I think the whole question is stress.
He's out of work.
How much stress are people feeling? And your conclusion is that despite the fact that some of the numbers are bad, the economic stress is not as great as
right.
I'll ask you also about the Christian National. But as a factor next Tuesday
in
the election,
somebody told me it was at Pendleton this morning that was an issue, the pardon of Nixon. First time I'd heard it. I know it's out there, but I've never heard anybody mentioned to me in advance that I think it was either Pendleton or maybe Spokane, one of these last, Klamath Falls, it must have been, that the, one of the fellows that rode in from the airport, one of the PFC guys.
Hey, can I follow up one thing? You said earlier that you would continue to mention this whole issue about the wars and so forth. I'm assuming that you'll bring up the Democrat wars if they ever began.
Well,
it's brought up by the pardon is brought up by the Democrats in Watergate or whatever.
You know, if I thought I was going to say it over again, I'd say it differently in the debate. That's probably where it was picked up. They want to get in a debate on the Alda and Potsdam, and we'll find the Alda somewhere and have a rally there. But they haven't said much about Watergate lately. Maybe they're planning the last couple of days.
But if that comes up, you might bring it up again.
Well, I don't know if I bring that up. I'm going to keep talking about peace and strength. And the Mondale record is lousy, as I said, and the Carter record, the Carter statements. I don't think strike a note, but I think talking, as I've been doing lately, to the mothers and the young people and the grandmothers strikes a note, because I've had, again, the feedback to go around shaking hands. And here are my two little reasons for voting for the
board.
I lost, or I can have an MIA family there this morning.
All those politicians
afterwards.
What are you going to do now?
When?
Yeah, where are you going to go?
I take a week off, then my wife's going back to work.
If you win, are you going to get back on the road immediately?
Yeah, I promised probably six or seven times I'll be back for a victory party, so do that between now and the first of the year.
Are you going to, just traveling and victory parties around the country?
I think we only have, how many people have we promised? We have to figure that out.
All the old tapes and hear it.
But
no campaign express will be going.
There's supposed to be a new a poll today. CBS that says it's 2 points.
Right,
that's what I heard.
2 points ahead.
And if this rumor's right on the New Times thing, that might take care of the 2 points.
Yeah, that's fair in a way to ask you about that because you have not seen it. But how would you react to something like that? Would you bring it up if you mention it, or just let it go?
What's that, the New Times? All I know is that something happened 2 days, 2 weeks after Playboy, which means they didn't just catch the poor guy going out the door. It's another, and again, it was censored out of the Ladies' Home Journal story.
You see that as a legitimate thing.
I don't. I think just let it surface on its own. If it's gonna, I don't intend to raise it. If somebody jumps me at the little press thing, I'll have to say something. I hadn't even thought about it. But except another bad judgment, another incident of bad judgment.
Not having what it said, I can't ask to tell some question about it.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's the same.
You know
sort
what it
of,
says, Larry?
More about lust. Just more about the same, you know. Prayerfully lusty, or lustily prayerful, or something.
I'm not going to use Knopfsinger's line, I promise you that.
I'll turn on. What
yeah. One of the two names. Lester.
What the hell was that?
Lester and Luster. Maddox.
That's all.
Yeah.